Had an engaging topic on yesterday's show, top four memorable games, best games in Tennessee football history. Going to tweak it here today, top four memorable games that you have attended. I'm going to tell you mine and more here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys being here today as always. Shout out to you everydayers for making the show what it is each and every day. If you want to be an everydayer, we'll show up Monday morning and you'll find out what being an everydayer is all about. At Locked On Vols on Twitter, at underscore Kaner. Thank you so much for subscribing and following us on the YouTube channel, Locked On Vols, and wherever you get your podcasts, literally wherever you consume audio podcasts, you can find us, Locked On Vols. It is there weekday mornings for 30 minutes or less of your Tennessee football content. It is your first listen each and every day. Got a fun show coming up today. Again, I know I say this all the time, but it truly is a fun show. As I mentioned, the cold open, we did memorable games, best games in Tennessee football history. We'll reset that and then put a twist on it. Matthew Osborne chimed in with a great topic in terms of what is the four best games you have ever attended in Tennessee football history. So I'm going to give you mine. Austin Pry is going to jump on to talk about the recruiting weekend in segment number two. And then the latest field of 64 projections for Tennessee baseball as we look ahead to regional play with conference tournaments still going on. So a little baseball talk to conclude this edition of Locked On Vols that is coming up in segment number three. Okay, so going to recap a little bit of what we did yesterday. The top, it was a Twitter Tuesday question from our guy Braden, and little did he know that this is going to turn into two segments this week. So in the month of May, I can't thank you enough for that. And so the question was top four games in Tennessee football history. You know, what would they be? A Mount Rushmore, if you will. And I gave you what I believe my Mount Rushmore of Tennessee football games were. And granted, I didn't go back to the 1950s. You know, really it goes beyond my lifetime, but it's all here in the last, you know, 40 years or so, right? The national championship game over Florida State is on there. The 2022, last win over Alabama this past football season is on there. Just everything that encompassed that. The 86 Sugar Bowl, the win over Miami, the Sugar Vols, that game is on it. And the, Miracle at South Bend is on it as well for Tennessee. So those are the four most memorable Tennessee football games, in my opinion, when talking about kind of a Mount Rushmore top situation. So a lot of you guys chimed in. A lot of you guys, you know, kind of said what yours were as well, and I really appreciate that. I'm going to read some of these here on the YouTube channel. We will go to Rocky Top Tom 8474. So the best game I ever witnessed in Neyland was when James Wilhoit missed the extra point and then hit the 50-yarder to win against Florida. But when we get back, when we came back against Georgia after being down 24-3 at the halfway point, that's right up there as well. The missed, the fumble, that game against Arkansas 98, had the flu, worst timing ever. Yeah, no doubt about it. That comment will kind of lead me into the second part of the segment here in just 1 second. Let's see here. Braden chimes in. He's 22 years old, saying from a 22-year-old's perspective, his Mount Rushmore is 2022 Bama game, 2016 Georgia game. That's a great one. 2016 Florida game, another great one. And the 2017 Georgia Tech game. That's an interesting one because, and again, 22 years old is young. So, you know, don't criticize him for his age there. But Georgia Tech game, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a big game whatsoever. But at the time, it was a season opener. It was an overtime. The way you won there on the goal line with that stop, 17-tackle effort from Daniel Batuli, if you remember. That was a big-time game at the time. Kelly chimes in, says, 2002 Hogs at Vols, 6 overtimes, longest game I've ever attended. Yeah, that's memorable for sure. And then Matthew chimes in up top, and he says, hey, did a nice job covering the program's Mount Rushmore, so I'll include my personal Mount Rushmore of games that I attended. Matthew says 2022 Alabama. Obviously, that's on my list as well. 2007 Kentucky away. 2004 Florida and 2016 Florida. So 04 Florida and 2016 Florida. And so I'm going to be honest with you guys. I So I grew up a Tennessee fan, obviously going to games with my dad, got a lot of memories there watching those games. And then when I went to college and I was at Carson Newman, obviously I played at Carson Newman, so I didn't go to many Tennessee football games when I was in college. And then shortly after college, I spent two more years working in the athletic department at Carson Newman, so there weren't many times where I could get away and go watch a game at Neyland Stadium. And I was busy, so I missed the 2016 Florida game where, you know, Tennessee took down Florida, and, you know, the Tabor play and Juwan Jennings catch and all that type of stuff. I missed that. Obviously, I was not in Athens for, you know, the Dobbs Hail Mary to end that game. So those games wouldn't register for me because I was not in attendance. But some other ones that do, and I'll tell you this right now, this is kind of my four most memorable Tennessee games that I attended. And it would certainly be the 2022 Tennessee win over Alabama, just here recently, for everything that win encompassed. I talked about it yesterday, but of course, if you guys want to talk about that, just kind of relive that. Maybe that's a great, great little summer conversation to have, you know, 1 week or a couple weeks, actually. We'll go through each day and kind of reflect on the 2022 season and kind of recap what happened in that game. And we could spend a couple shows on that Alabama game. But that 100% is up there for me. The 2004, this was mentioned by someone in the YouTube comments that I read earlier. The 2004 Florida game at Neyland Stadium, 100% is up there for me because I was in-house. I remember, I mean, I was young, obviously, and obviously the missed extra point by James Wolhoitz and people were leaving. In fact, I was with one of my buddies at the time, and we were with his parents, and my buddy and his dad left the stadium. They left the stadium to go get the car and get it warmed up and get ready to roll. And me and his mom stayed in the stadium, and I'll never forget. I'm like, where are you going, man? Game's not over. And I was rewarded, right? Because Tennessee lines up, kicks the game-winning 50-yard field goal to down Florida. It was James Wolhoitz off his right foot, and I couldn't even think. It was so loud inside Neyland Stadium. So that one will forever stand out there to me. So those are two of my most memorable ones. 2022 Alabama, 2004 Florida, of course. And the other two, this next one I'll talk about, and this is one that Matthew mentioned as well. I was in attendance in Lexington for this day, 2007. It was Tennessee winning over Kentucky in four overtimes. That was the Eric Ainge 7-touchdown performance. That's a Tennessee record, of course. But again, remember overtime rules. You're not going the length of the field. So much happened in that game that I remember. I remember, Arian Foster running, scoring what would have been putting Tennessee up in one of those overtimes. Can't remember which one it was, and he threw the football, I feel like, into the stands, and Tennessee was penalized, and they had to go all the way back. They backed him up, 20, 30 yards, whatever it was, and then Tennessee scored like on the next play or two after that again to overcome that. It was so cold that day. I remember that, but the win over Kentucky, four overtimes in 2007 was one that I'll never forget. So that would be my third game. And then lastly, I will put this on there. I forgot about this, and I was actually in-house for this game. 2006, Tennessee takes down California by a score of 35-18. It was the year after Tennessee missed out on a bowl game. It was the year after Tennessee had a losing record. It was the year after Tennessee entered the season ranked number 3 in the country, or number 2 in the country, whatever it was. Eric Ainge's junior season, Tennessee jumped out of the gates against top 10 Cal. I think they were ranked number 9 at the time. Jumped out 35-0. And 18 points scored by Cal in the fourth quarter made that game look a little closer than what it was, 35-18. But huge, huge games for Robert Meacham, Jason Swain. Just a big-time game overall, but I just remember being there. It was the opener. It was a great team. Tennessee coming off such a disappointing season, and Tennessee just beat the crap out of them, jumped out 35-0, and kind of rode off into the sunset from there. So, again, there were some bigger games. It's pretty tough sledding, last 12, 13 years. Don't get me wrong, prior to Heupel. And so there's not been a whole lot of memorable games at Neyland Stadium, but there are some other ones that I missed, or at least I wasn't in attendance for. But these are my four most memorable Tennessee games that I have been in-house for. 22 Alabama, 04 Florida, 07 at Kentucky, and 06 California here at Neyland Stadium. What say you? I'd be interested to see, and it was a great observation, a great topic selection by Matthew Osborne to kind of spin off what we did yesterday from Braden's question and kind of make it your own. And that's what we're all about here at Locked On Vols. So top four games you were in attendance for, let me know that right here at Locked On Vols. Hey, when we come back, Austin Price, major recruiting weekend. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. He will tell us what we should expect for the 865 Live Memorial Day recruiting event. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at Bird Dogs. Fit, comfort, and versatility. Bird Dogs prides themselves in those key three elements to make your attire, you know, everything you want it to be. Fit. It's a better looking feel when you wear Bird Dogs. Comfort. The stretchy fabric makes it easy for you to walk around, to run, to do pretty much whatever you want, and you'll be comfortable doing it because of that stretchy fabric. And versatility. Bird Dogs shorts, Bird Dogs pants, whatever the case is, you can go on a date, you can go to a meeting, you can go out to the movies, you can go to a ball game. The versatility, you're going to look fresh and professional all the way through. So really looking forward to it. Bird Dogs is something I'm going to be sporting all summer long because I will be out and about. I'll be at Smoky Stadium taking in some Tennessee Smokies games. Here in a little bit, I'll be going to regional play wherever Tennessee is projected. We'll have more on that in segment three. And I'll be wearing Bird Dogs because I'm going to be wanting to be comfortable at the ballpark all day long, but also look professional. So for me, Bird Dogs is going to be a key component of my summer, and it can be a key component of your summer as well, with perfect fit, extremely comfortable clothing, and the versatility that rivals nobody. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege and enter the promo code lockedoncollege. You're going to get a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with your order. So you can order at birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Enter the promo code lockedoncollege, place your order, and when you do so, you're going to have this nice Yeti style tumbler from Bird Dogs. It's really, really good. I drank my coffee out of it this morning. So birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Go and place your order today. Hey, welcome back into your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Shout out Everydayers. Big weekend coming up. Big recruiting weekend coming up for Tennessee football. And it was called the Memorial, you know, Rocky Top of Palooza last year. It's called the 865 Live this year. Whatever you want to call it. This recruiting weekend last year planted the seed for a lot of commitments down the line. And so hoping that is the case here for Tennessee this year, we're going to bring on one of my colleagues over at VolQuest.com, Austin Price, to let us know kind of what to expect from this weekend, Austin. And Tennessee is going to have a whole lot of guys on campus. What should we be expecting to hear Saturday afternoon and Sunday kind of as these guys leave campus?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you just want to see the momentum start to build. You know, as far as decisions coming out of this weekend, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, everybody's going to talk about Peyton Lewis. He's made it clear he's, you know, going to do something before the end of the month. This weekend makes a ton of sense, right? And, you know, as for everything else, you know, I think it's, you know, start building momentum towards official visits. So, you know, if you're really trending with a player or two this weekend and they are here this weekend, they're back for an official in June, that just continues to kind of build momentum for them and yourself in their recruitment, and in turn build momentum for Tennessee's recruiting class. So, you know, you want to use this as kind of like a big bonding weekend, and I think that's what Josh Heupel and company will do.
So there's if you're a member of VolQuest.com, check out the War Room this morning. There's a whole list of names who are expected to be in town. Now, you know, those are all pending. We'll have to see if some of those guys show up. That's the case each and every year. Who would be some of those guys? It's kind of an opening question that, you know, maybe Tennessee would like to really do some work with this weekend, where, you know, they come back in June, you can maybe close that door. Who's, you know, three or four names that Tennessee, you know, needs to, you know, throw the kitchen sink at him this week, I guess.
Well, providing that they make it in, like, I would lead like the guy like Tylan Singleton, a guy that Tennessee's got a really good relationship with. TCU, LSU, now he's a Louisiana kid, but I think there's a chance he leaves the state, and that one's one that Brian Jean-Marie has worked really, really hard the last several months, and Tennessee seems to have a lot of momentum there. Daniel Hill's a running back from Mississippi who comes in this weekend. I've continued to joke that he's this year's Noah Rogers because he said he's coming in a bunch. He's never come in like Noah did a year ago, but I actually think Hill may make it this weekend. If that happens, it gives Tennessee a shot, right? They'll take a puncher shot with Dylan Stewart if he makes it in this weekend, the highly coveted athlete. You know, we'll see what happens there. Obviously, they don't have Jaden Verdell coming in. He's going to Georgia and not coming in on this visit to Tennessee this weekend. But they do have Jonathan Echols. They have Amir Jackson, another tight end from South Georgia, coming in. Cam Michael will be back in here this weekend. Same thing with you know, a couple of, you know, other high-end athletes. So, you know, again, it's a huge weekend to build momentum, to continue the momentum, you know, for Tennessee's recruiting class.
You mentioned the commitment to Georgia by Jaden Riddell. That came down the pipe a couple of days ago. And you mentioned a couple of other tight ends that Tennessee's going to be turning their attention to. But how big of a loss was this for Alec Ablin, for Joey Halsley, for Tennessee? It's a really good player. Is this kind of a disappointing loss? Is it completely over with for Tennessee?
You know, I would say that their chances of flipping him are slim. Just doesn't feel like one that, you know, is going to flip back your way once you kind of saw the momentum swing to Georgia and they were able to get him in the boat. You know, Tennessee's not going to quit recruiting him. But at the same time, I definitely feel like, you know, the chances of getting him flipped would be hard. You know, it's more disappointing than anything. At one point, you were the leader. You know, he's told me on the phone, you know, Tennessee was, you know, probably 80-20. Then when Landon Thomas flipped from Georgia to FSU, it kind of went 50-50 when Georgia turned up the heat. Obviously, they have a recent history with tight ends, and Brock Bowers is one of the best players in college football. And so, you know, the Dylan Riola thing, I think it's a small blip. Like, I think it mattered. I think that those two have done a lot of talking, but I don't think it was the end-all, be-all. Because at the end of the day, like, how many kids have signed with Georgia to catch balls from Brock Vandergriff, Carson Beck, and Gunnar Stockton? And how many have caught balls from those three?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I don't think you can make any decision. And I think he knows that, right? Like, I think he likes Riola. He likes the idea of, you know, playing with Riola. But he also understands, you know, he's going to have a quicker path to the field than Riola. You know, I mean, Brock Bowers will leave after this year. And then he has a chance to come in and earn playing time right away. So, again, more disappointing than anything else, I think. I don't think it's an end-all, be-all. You're going against, you know, the two-time defending national champs at a position where they've had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing Tennessee fans need to realize, and I think a lot of them struggle to do so, is, you know, the fact that, you know, when you elevated the program last year 11-2 and the quality of player you're now recruiting is different, that means you're recruiting against the best of the best. You're not going to win them all. You're going to lose these recruiting battles, but you've got to win your fair share. So, like, you start thinking about Ryan Wingo, Mike Matthews, Winery, Cam Franklin, you know, Edwin Spillman, Amari Jefferson, Jaden Riddell, let's throw him in that mix. You start thinking about a core group of these higher tier guys where you're competing against Ohio State and Georgia and Clemson and Alabama. And all those guys I just named, you're competing for, you know, or competing with those teams for those player services. Tennessee's just got to land their fair share. So, like, Tennessee's got to find a way to land Amari Jefferson, Edwin Spillman. They've got to find a way to land a Mike Matthews or a Winery or a Cam Franklin. All guys that are still super, super gettable. But you're going against really, really top flight programs, which means they're also super, super losable. I mean, they found that out with Jaden Riddell. Had the lead. Until they did. So, you know, again, when you're recruiting against the best of the best, you have to understand you're going to take some losses. You just need some wins too. You can't get shut out. You can't go over. You can't bat 1-for-9. You've got to win enough. Not win them all, win enough.
A good way to kind of look at this is the four offensive tackles Tennessee won over the class of 2023. Yep. Tennessee got one out of the four. In this respect, you need to get two of the four. You need to start swinging at a higher percentage. You mentioned a lot of names there, and one name, and as we talk wide receiver, you know, Mike Matthews, of course, Ryan Wingo, but one name I've heard you mention continuously being as big of a priority as those two guys is in-state Amari Jefferson. Recruiting changes all the time. It changes by the minute, by the hour. Where is Tennessee with Amari Jefferson kind of heading into the weekend?
Well, you know, he's on the record quoted as saying Tennessee is a touch below Georgia and Alabama. I think this weekend changes that. I will be shocked if we come out of the weekend and he's not pulled the Vols even with the Tide and Bulldogs. I think this weekend Tennessee puts its best foot forward. I think they take a huge step in the right direction heading into three official visits coming up in June to those main three programs. You know, I think the LSU is still a team you have to watch for Amari Jefferson, but I really look at those top three as kind of the top three. And then, you know, I think Tennessee's, you know, if they do what they're capable, I think Amari Jefferson is super gettable here the next 6 weeks.
A couple really talented in-state prospects set to be on campus this week. You know, Jefferson, as we just mentioned, Boo Carter. And, you know, Edwin Spellman, younger brother, Nate Spellman. Edwin Spellman's kind of been destined to Tennessee for a long time, taking his time, enjoying the recruiting process. But Tennessee still feels like it's in a really good spot there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ohio State, Georgia, at the end of the month, he's going to visit Tennessee in between those two visits. I still have a tough time seeing him, you know, go anywhere but Tennessee. I know that's where a lot of people are with this. You know, now, with that said, if you're him, you find that annoying, right? Like, same thing Caleb Herring found last year. He hated the fact that everybody just, you know, he didn't get to go through the recruiting process properly. And same thing with Edwin in a lot of ways, because everybody just assumes, well, your brother's going to Tennessee, you're going to Tennessee. And so that's what you got to, you know, think about it from the kid's perspective. Like, you know, and that's where I think there's been a slow process to this. Do I think we're going to end up, you know, with him wearing orange in the end? Yes. Do I think it's taken longer than many thought because of the fact that everybody just assumes? Yes, absolutely.
All right, big weekend coming up. The 865 Live is what they're calling it this year. It's much better than the Rocky Top of Palooza. Head on over to VolQuest.com, the War Room, a list of names expected to be in town. Jake Merklinger, among many of those, the quarterback in this class. And on that note, last thing here, this was asking the VolQuest Mailbag podcast this week, and Matt answered it to the best of his abilities, but it's a really good question because it might not have an answer yet. Who is the it guy in this class that people are going to want to come play with, much like we thought Nico was going to be last year? It didn't obviously result in a whole lot of commitments on the offensive side of the football, but who's that it guy in the class for Tennessee that people will flock to?
I'm going to roll with if Tennessee gets Boo Carter in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to go with Boo Carter. Like, I think, you know, Boo's somebody that kids like and like to be around and, you know, kind of carries himself a certain way and has a little, you know, aura around him. And, of course, you know, his name's Boo. So, you know, I think there's something to that.
A guy that can play cornerback, can play wide receiver, can play safety, can play star. Sky's the limit for a Boo Carter at the next level. Awesome price. VolQuest.com. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, Eric. Thank you.
All right, we'll come back. We'll hit up the latest projections for the field of 64. Where is Tennessee linked to right now in regional play? All that and more coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, we got just a couple of minutes left here of this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys being here and taking part in all of the Locked On Vols episodes this week. Can't thank you enough for that. Let's talk a little baseball here to kind of close the door on this week, and we'll come back Monday with plenty more Tennessee football. We'll recap the major recruiting weekend that Austin Price just kind of broke down that's set to be here on campus, and looking forward to doing all of that. So D1Baseball.com, those are the rankings, those are the RPIs, those are the projections that I follow personally. That's what ESPN follows. If you're watching a baseball game on the SEC Network or on ESPN, and you see the ranking numbers at the bottom, that's reflected from D1 Baseball. It's what I use at VolQuest.com when I do my work. And so that's who I trust in terms of a national publication for college baseball. They came out with their updated Field of 64 projections, meaning who's going to make the tournament, who's going to make the dance. And it's important to remember right now there's conference tournaments going on all across the country, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, mid-majors, all that type of stuff. And so publications like D1 Baseball and Baseball America and others are going to be updating these projections every single day. At the time of this recording, by the time this goes live or by the time you're listening to this, there could be another projections out there, you know, for Friday afternoon or whatever the case is. But this came out Thursday morning and is reflected on everything that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday, the first 2 days of the conference tournaments, and that's kind of where they stand right now. So where is Tennessee projected to go in the NCAA tournament? Because Tennessee went one and done in Hoover, it's very unlikely that Tennessee will be hosting a regional in Knoxville. And it's a shame because if you won at least one game and stayed alive for a couple of days in Hoover, the way the conference tournaments are going, especially in the Big 12 with three contenders already facing elimination, you know, you probably could have backdoored your way into hosting a regional. But I still think that it's highly unlikely right now, though Tennessee is right on that brink. According to D1 Baseball, this is the Thursday updated Field of 64 projections. Tennessee is the second seed in the Indiana State region. Indiana State would be the final hosting site. It would be the 16th overall seed, and Tennessee would be the number 2 seed in that region, which means, essentially, since Indiana State is the final host seed, 16th, Tennessee would be the top number 2 seed. It would be the 17th seed, if you will. So it's kind of right on that brink, right? So Tennessee's right off that cuff of hosting to traveling. The Indiana State Regional is paired up with the Winston-Salem Regional because Winston-Salem, host of Wake Forest, number 1 team in the country, it would have the number 1 overall seed. And so the last hosting regional would be paired up with the top hosting regional for Super Regionals, if that makes sense. Tennessee would need, everybody in regional play, would need to be the last team standing in a 4-team weekend, if you will, and if you if it's double elimination. And if you are the last team standing, then you move on and you play in Super Regionals, which is the best of a 3-game series. If you win that series, you head on to Omaha. But in the Indiana State Regional, who else is there? Well, Indiana State would be the host school, so it would be the number 1 seed in that regional. Tennessee would be the 2 seed, and it would play 3-seeded UC Irvine. Interesting enough, according to D1 Baseball, UC Irvine is in the last 4 in at number 61, ahead of Kansas State, Arizona State, and Notre Dame. The cutoff there, and then the last 4 out is Louisiana, Texas State, Xavier, and Arizona. That loss to Arizona to begin the season, not helping Tennessee out right now because, according to D1 Baseball's latest projections, Arizona is the 4th team out. So Tennessee would take on UC Irvine in the 2-3 matchup to begin that regional. And the 4th seed is a team that Tennessee is familiar with and Tennessee fans are familiar with from 2 years ago, Wright State. Wright State is also projected into the Indiana State Regional. So what's the rest of these projections look like? Well, the top 8 seeds pretty much remain unchanged from the updated field of 64 from D1 Baseball from Monday. Wake Forest is the number 1 seed. Florida is the number 2 seed. These are all hosting, by the way. Arkansas is a 3 seed. LSU is a 4 seed. Clemson's a 5 seed. Stanford's a 6 seed. Vanderbilt's a 7 seed. Virginia is an 8 seed. Then you have, this is where it gets kind of funky, right? You have some mixing and matching, and we'll get to Baseball America's projections here in a moment. But you have Coastal Carolina is the 9th seed, Auburn's a 10th seed, Alabama's the 11th seed, Kentucky is the 12th seed, Miami is the 13th seed, Boston College is the 14th seed, South Carolina as a 15th seed, and then Indiana State as a 16th seed. On Monday's projections, Tennessee was projected to go to the Coral Gables region, which is Miami, and I think Miami at the time was the 11th seed. But nonetheless, things have changed. Again, the reason why there's so many SEC teams that are hosting right now is because, gosh, the Big 12 has just kind of fumbled all over itself with, you know, Texas and some other teams, you know, that are losing right now in the conference tournament, and they're not helping themselves out. So right now, the SEC, 8 teams from the SEC are set to host, and Tennessee would have been that 9th one. So interesting stuff there. We'll go over to Baseball America, and it pretty much looks the same. Tennessee is again projected to Indiana State's regional. That is the 16th seed, and it's paired up again with Winston-Salem. The only difference is that regional for, according to Baseball America and the projections from Thursday morning, Tennessee is the 2 seed, Iowa is the 3 seed, and Wright State is the 4 seed. So Tennessee will take on Iowa in that model instead of UC Irvine. But again, it's paired up with Winston-Salem. The top 8 seeds remain the same from Baseball America to D1 Baseball. Just, 2 teams are flipped, and I'll get there in a moment. Wake Forest 1, Florida 2, Arkansas 3, LSU is 4. Stanford and Clemson flip-flop. Stanford's 5, the 5 seed according to Baseball America, with Clemson being the 6 seed, Vanderbilt, and then Virginia. And again, a lot of the same teams as well, according to Baseball America. Coastal Carolina would be a 9 seed, Kentucky a 10 seed, Miami an 11 seed, Auburn a 12 seed, South Carolina a 13th seed, Alabama a 14th seed, Boston College a 15th seed, and Indiana State a 16th seed. So right now, Tennessee is projected to go to Indiana State. It is about a 6-hour and 15-minute drive from my house. Very cheap hotels. I will probably drive that. Might go up to Chicago afterwards, maybe go catch a little Cubs game at Wrigley. Wouldn't that be fun? So that I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you know, Selection Monday, when everything is official, it's going to be noon on Monday on Memorial Day, and it's going to be on ESPN2 at noon Eastern. So that is the latest in terms of Tennessee baseball, the field of 64 projections. If you follow along, if you keep up with college baseball, D1 baseball, Baseball America, they will put out updated projections as long as the conference tournaments are going on. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it will lead you into Selection Monday. That will do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Had a fun show today. Appreciate Austin Price stepping in to chat with a little bit of a recruiting weekend ahead. Most memorable football games in Tennessee history that you attended. I gave you mine, and Matthew Osborne gave you his, and I'm interested to see what yours are. Kind of a spinoff from what we did on Thursday's show, and all this coming from Brayden with the Twitter Tuesday questions. So appreciate you guys as always. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen, for being an everydayer. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribed on the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple, if you could rate me 5 stars and leave me a positive review, that would mean a whole lot to me. For some reason, on the Apple Podcast app, it still says Josh Ward hosts the show, but whatever. But rate me 5 stars if you would, and leave me a positive review. Guys, thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. Stay safe. And we will talk again on Monday morning. Recap everything that was the Tennessee weekend. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.